One of the things I love about the Bible is that it sometimes it catches you off guard and it surprises you. You think it's going in one direction and then it kind of switches it around and it goes in another direction. A good example of that we see in the Old Testament. There was a lot of consensus for a long time around the idea that if you're good and faithful to God, that you'll be blessed. In other words, good things will come your way. Health and wealth and happiness. And so you want to do the good thing. So for instance, in Proverbs 3:33, it says, "The Lord will bless the home of those who do right." And if you read the whole verse, it actually says, "And the homes of those who are wicked will be cursed." So if you're unfaithful and if you're a bad person, an evil person, bad things will happen to you. If you're a good person, good things will happen to you. But then along comes the book of Job, and it kind of calls that whole idea into question, because suddenly you have a good and a faithful man who's suffering, really suffering in some awful ways. And so we can see that goodness and suffering can exist in the same person at the same time in the same place, and that bad things sometimes do happen to good people. In the New Testament, we have letter after letter from the Apostle Paul saying that it's all about grace and it's no longer about the law, and that we can't earn our salvation, that it's a free gift of grace. And so time and time again, we have these words that we are saved by grace through faith and not by works. One of the most fundamental teachings of the New Testament is that. And then along comes the book of James. And the book of James is all about action. It's all about works. It's all about doing. And probably one of the best known verses from the book of James is that faith without works is dead. That's found in chapter 2 of James. If James were to have a more modern day slogan, it might be, "Keep calm and get her done." That's what it's about. It's about doing. It's about action. It's about putting into practice what we know to be right. It's one of the most practical of all of the letters, and so for that reason it's a favorite of a lot of people. Pastor Brian last night pointed out that there are like 100 different commands in there to do this and don't do that, and again it's all about living out our faith in very real and authentic ways every day. And we certainly see that in our scripture reading today from chapter 1 of James. Especially in these first verses, he says, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness." That's right there. I could probably stop right there and preach on that for another 2 or 3 weeks and still not say everything that needs to be said about that. That's how important that is. Good stuff. But it goes on. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." And I love how James ends that with such confidence and with such directness. If you want to be faithful, what do? You minister to widows and orphans. It's not brain surgery. It's not that complicated. the Bible, the Gospels, the Jesus, the commands to take care of the marginalized and the poor and those who are in need. It's very clear. That and keep yourself unstained by the world. That's what it's all about. But of course, it isn't just about that. We know that there's more to serving God than just taking care of widows and orphans. It's a great place to start. But I think what James's point is here, that there should be action. Our faith should lead to action. There should be evidence in our lives that we actually believe. And this is where it gets complicated for us as individuals, for us as a church, because as James understood very, very clearly, there is a world of difference between knowing what to do and actually doing it. And I think sometimes we feel like just knowing what to do is enough. And as James says, no, it's not enough. You've got to do more than just know what to do. That's great. Knowing what to do is great. But if you're not acting on it, you're not there yet. Let me give you a perfect example of this. We know from Scripture that tithing is something that God commands. It's there. It's in the story of Abraham. It's pretty much throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know that we're called upon to give 10% of our income to God as a response of thanksgiving, and also to participate in mission and ministry with God. We know that, but how many of us actually do that? So you begin to see the problem here. This is the problem. We a lot of times we do know what to do, but we don't always do it. Great example of this is somebody that goes shopping without any invitation, without any intention of actually buying something. I think we've all had this experience. Some of you just love to do that. I that's not something that I've ever enjoyed, just browsing. I if I want something, I go get it and I'm done. But you've had the experience of going into a store and having a salesman come up to you and say, "Can I help you find something?" And you say, "No thanks, I'm just looking," which is a great phrase to have if you're just out browsing. Nothing wrong with that. It's something good to have in your back pocket for that occasion. It's a problem, however, when it comes to our relationship with God and living out our relationship with God. And James has a problem with those who basically respond to God's invitation to faithfulness and to obedience and to service by saying, "No thanks, I'm just looking." He wants us to know that there's more than just knowing, there's also doing. It's kind of like a story I heard about a pastor that decided he was gonna tackle this issue right away with the new church that he was going to, and so he on the very first Sunday he preached a really great sermon. It convicted people. People were saying so as they were leaving that day. It was great. And so he got up in the pulpit the very next Sunday and he preached the same sermon over again. And everybody thought, okay, well, that's a little odd, but we know he was busy moving in and probably just didn't have time to get another one written. And so they kind of let it go. Well, the third week, he comes back and he preaches the exact same sermon a third time. And this time, the elders decided, we better talk to the pastor. So they had a little meeting, and they got him aside, and they said, "Okay, well, we understood. We loved the first sermon. We understood that maybe you were a little busy, you know, on that second week. But the third Sunday, we're not understanding. Why do you not have any other sermons?" And the pastor said, "Oh, no," he said, "I've got other sermons and I can write new ones." He said, "I'm just waiting for you to do what I told you to do the first time." I would say that if James had another slogan, he would probably want to adopt Nike's approach, which is just do it. Just do it. Stop thinking about it. Stop feeling guilty about it. Stop putting it off. You already know what to do, so go ahead and do it. It's probably the best advice you're ever going to get from a sporting goods company. That's just the reality. So why should we do, then, what we already know to be true? And besides it being the right thing to do, because it is the right thing to do, James lets us know that it's for our own goods too. He says in verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer that acts, he or she will be blessed in their doing." In other words, if you do what you know God is calling you to do, then good things are going to come your way. It's going to be a good thing. And you're going to be blessed in that process. And I think that the same is true in our relationship with God, especially when we do that which we know is going to require, it's going to be hard for us. God calls us to get out of our comfort zone occasionally. And when we do that, we're going to be blessed in ways that we might not have imagined. It's really a leap of faith. That's why that phrase gets thrown around so much when we talk about doing what God calls us to do. Think of some examples from Scripture. We've got Abraham and Sarah. They were called basically out of their retirement to go and to start a family. That in itself was pretty remarkable, in a place they'd never seen before, in a land that they didn't know. Or Moses, it was called upon to go back and to confront the most powerful man in the world at that time, in Pharaoh, by himself, essentially, and with almost no support even from his own people at first. Or the disciples that were called upon to leave their fishing nets and to walk away from their lives, essentially, completely into the unknown. And yet we know that they did. They were called out of their comfort zone to do something that they'd never done before, and because they did, and did so faithfully, they were blessed because of it. And not only that, but the world was blessed because of it. Every blessings abound when we do what God calls us to do. And the good news is that can be us. That can be you, too. Provided you respond faithfully. Now, of course, people who do make big changes in their lives like this, I think it's a fairly rare thing. I don't see it happening all the time. I don't see it happening every day, but I do see it happen. And I know it's possible because I've witnessed it in many people's lives. I've watched people literally go from lives of crime and addiction, for instance, to being examples of Christian service and faithfulness and dedication and humility and devotion and all of those things. And the more I think about people who have truly lived out their faith in big and little ways, the other thing I see is that they are profoundly happy. Even when they're going through rough times, even when circumstances aren't that great, there's a joy and there's a contentment about them that is present. And I believe it's because they are actively living out their faith in God. But there's always that fear. There's always that fear that if we do this, we're going to be out there. And that fear keeps us from stepping out into the unknown. It keeps us from doing what we know is the right thing. There's a great parable, modern parable about this, about a man that gets lost in the desert. And he wanders around for a couple of days, and he is literally dying of thirst. And just when he thinks all is lost, he sees this little oasis up in the distance. And he makes his way there, and he finally gets there, and he finds this little water pump in the middle of this oasis, and next to it is a jar filled with water with a note on it. And he reads the note, and right away it says, "Warning, do not drink this water, because you need to pour the water down into the well, because there's a gasket, a leather gasket in there, that you need to get wet. And when that gasket swells up with the water, then you can pump all of the water that you want, as much fresh water as you want. And the last thing you're going to do is you're going to refill the jar and put it next to the pump for the next traveler." So you can see his dilemma. Okay, he's dying of thirst, and here is a jar of water, maybe not enough to save his life, but it's water, But this note is telling him that he's supposed to pour it down the well and not drink any of it, because every last drop is needed to get that gasket wet enough. What should he do? It's really a matter of faith and works, isn't it? And I think the same is true for us. We look into, as James says, we look into the perfect law, we look into the words of Scripture, and we see the promises there that if we are faithful, if we respond as and do the very things that God is asking us to do, that we will be blessed, that good things will come our way, that the world will be blessed because of it. But there's always that perceived risk. Just like the man with the water, pouring the water down the well, there's always that perceived risk, because there's no trial period. There's no going halfway. It's either you go all the way or you don't. And so that's why we call it a leap of faith. And so my encouragement to you is to listen. Listen for what God is saying to you in Scripture. Listen to what God is saying to you in your life. And when you sense that God is calling you to do something that's implausible or maybe even impossible, surprise everyone, including yourself, and just do it. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to be more than just folks that know the right thing to do. You call us to act. You call us to be people who live out our faith in real and concrete ways every day, not just on Sunday morning, but in every way in all of our relationships. Bless and guide us. Help us to do those tough things, even those things we may feel like we're incapable of. But you know us better than we know ourselves. So Lord, we just pray for strength, and for wisdom, and for your guidance always, in Jesus' name.